Welcome, everybody, to issue 19 of Heroes Asylum. That's right, guys. The inmates forgot to take their medicine again today. So here we go.
A quarter century ago, our two heroes were locked away in the asylum, exposed to decades of old comic books and pop culture magazines. Eventually, they broke free and are running the asylum. Now, they control what you hear. Welcome to Heroes Asylum.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, to another issue of Heroes Asylum. We are here on this lovely Sunday evening. Lights are still on outside. That's throwing me off still. But we are here again. Kane is here with me. As always, we're going to run through some great things today. So, Kane, man, how you doing today?
Happy Memorial Day, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Got a three-day weekend. Can't complain. Yeah.
Me too. So stoked. Got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh, yes, yes. It has been a busy week, a very socially week, so to speak, in the world of sci-fi and comic books, which we all discuss and review here. Don't forget, guys, if you are interested in wanting to download us and you're the first time finding us, you can find us on heroesasylum.com, where you can find the links to everything, Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, all the goodies. So you find us there. And again, thank you guys, for those of you that are downloading us and subscribing, thank you and share always.
Thank you. Yeah, of course. Thank you. Thank you. Stitcher. You forgot about Stitcher, Instagram, and Twitter,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
And the Facebook page.
I didn't want to spend here all day talking about it.
Might as well just throw it out of there.
Here's asylum.com. Get you all the things here with Asylum.
Yes, sir.
So, busy week. We had a few movies coming dropping this week, which you and I both got a chance to catch. News, just like a lot of backlash on a lot of things going on.
Just a little bit of backlash.
Yeah, not just new backlash, old backlash, like things coming back around that we thought were all calmed down, but I guess not. So let's go ahead, and best way to discover that and hear all about that is the Asylum Board. Or the Admissions Board, I guess you would say.
Yeah, it's the admissions ward.
Sorry.
And of course, as always, the admissions ward is where we introduce the stuff that went on this past week, trailers, news, and all that good stuff. So now that we've checked in, it's time to check out one of our first points. And for me, in the admissions ward, the first thing that dropped this week was the new Dark Fate Terminator trailer coming out. I believe it's in July, I think. I forgot the
release date.
Is it sooner than that?
Hold on. No. I wrote down my release dates for some movies. No, November
1st. I was going to say.
Yeah.
November 1st?
November 1st, yeah. Because really? I was looking at the release dates because I was trying to plan, show prepping, trying to be all professional here. Because I was trying to figure out things that were going on. And yeah, that was the first one in November because it was kind of a quiet month leading up.
Yeah, so first trailer dropped. It was okay. I think that's all I can really say. It's just okay. I mean, I've been burned by these Terminator movies in the past since, part two. Three was four was then everything else in between. Although the Sarah Connor Chronicles that was on Fox TV was really good.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
That was a really good show. Too bad it got canceled way too early, I think. And they had Alita Healy was on there, by the way. She played Sarah Connor. She, for you GOT fans.
Yeah, and I wish I could remember her name. I'm drawing a blank right now, but she
– Summer Glau, man.
Summer Glau. But yeah, she was on there as well. I think I kind of felt the same way you did about this. I wasn't a big fan. It had too much feel of T2. The chase scene down the highway.
Yeah.
Seen it before. Heavy, and again, I'm probably going to get backlash on this, and I do apologize. Very heavy female cast. I understand we are, the movies are trying to push more female, stronger female characters, which is fine for me because honestly, what they're doing nowadays with strong female characters is nothing new. We've had those. We had Sigourney Weaver in, Aliens, strongest female character you could think of. You think of any 80s horror movie, strong female leads. They were the ones that came out, beat the guy. So strong female leads, not a turn off for me, but too much. The female Terminator, again, kind of reminiscent of T3. Ooh. Again, it just too much, I think. Even, and I got to say this, the Terminator – going after them really did not look dangerous to me at all. It just the guy in a plaid shirt driving a beat up piece of crap truck just wasn't. Again, it is a teaser, get it, but just my first initial reaction, my gut reaction, not feeling it.
Yeah, it's just kind of blah. It's just like it's too much like the beats of Terminator 2. I'm like, oh, let's look at our CGI. Oh, look at this Terminator. He can split himself in two now. Like, okay.
Yeah.
The only good thing I did like about it was Linda Hamilton kicking ass and blowing up that Terminator on the bridge. That was kind of cool. But it's just like, you know, I hope the movie's better than this trailer because, you know, I'm just, okay, you know. You know, if I didn't know any better and if Linda and Arnold weren't in this movie, I would just wait for it to come out on DOD. Because I'm like, seriously, I'm like, that's the only reason I want to watch it because I love Linda and I love Arnold. And they were like, they bring a lot of nostalgia back for me, especially T2 and T1. But, you know, other than that, I'm like, okay, this is great. So now you have a chick Terminator. Now you have another girl being chased and like, okay. So this reminds me of another movie I saw. It was called T2. Yeah. I mean,
I am interested in the story of, because it is picking up after 2, what's been going on? Where was John? What is Arnold? Is he a Terminator? Is he the guy that it was developed after? That kind of thing is what I'm more interested in than the action there's a lot of James Cameron fans out there, and some beating the drum for him and in Avatar, but I'm not a big Cameron had his days, but I haven't seen anything really good from him in a long time.
Exactly.
So I'm not. Yes, he's going back to the well. Great, but that doesn't always work. I've seen some good directors, good writers go back to the well, and they have changed themselves. So when you go back to what you wrote when you were in your 20s and now you're in your 40s, you're looking at it a different, you know, aspect in a different way, and things are going to be different. And I don't see right away that we're getting to capture that same magic again.
Yeah, then again, this is the same James Cameron who said Terminator Jenny Smith was actually one of his favorite Terminator movies that he's seen. I'm like, okay, so now you're just a liar, and now you're producing this movie, and it just – I mean, it's not Terminator Jenny Smith. I mean Terminator Genesis. I'm sorry.
I was just
trying to see if you caught that.
I was waiting for you to pause and take a breath. I'm like, Jenny Smith, did I miss something? Is that like
Terminator Genesis or Jenny Smith? That's what I always call it. Terminator Jenny Smith. That's my call for it.
I was like, was it like a bubblegum version of it? You know, kind of like, you know, a Buffy kind of thing?
Come here, lose weight. No, it's not quite that, but
okay.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, there's just nothing new in this trailer. I mean, I guess that's the way for me to finish this point on this trailer. It's just like, okay, you know, hopefully the second trailer will have something more meat to add.
Yeah.
Because one of the best reasons I like the first Terminator above all of them is because it was like a horror movie. It was a straight up horror sci-fi movie. You know, she's being chased around. This thing is killing things as along the way. I mean, just straight up murdering people. I mean, we'll talk about a new superhero movie later on that's about straight up murdering people, I'm sure. Yeah. But this is that's what I miss about the Terminator franchise, just that vibe of that. And T2 obviously is more spectacle, but it still had that, you know, that groundedness of like you're being chased by this new thing that's even more scarier than the last thing.
It was your silent stalking character, just like I referenced before. Yes. The 80s horror movies was of Michael and Jason. They didn't say a word. They just stalked you. Terminator was just a sci-fi version of that, really, is what he did.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's Dark Fate. Next thing I got on my list, Mike, is something actually kind of sad. Tom King is being pulled off Batman. He's not going to make it to the – I guess he was supposed to do 100 issues. He's going to stop at number 85.
Yeah.
And his run is going to be over. And I was kind of miffed when I read about this, and I read his Twitter account. He was thanking everybody, and – to me, it's kind of sad. I mean, he's done a pretty good job with Batman, kind of reinventalizing him, just giving him new life. I mean, it's tough to give a character like that new life over the years. You know, there's so many incarnations of him and so many great writers that he's had. But I was just kind of like, I mean, there's got to be something going on in the background with him leaving so quickly.
And maybe something coming up, maybe something they want him to work on. You know, it's always, hey, we're going to pull you off of this, but we do have you to do this and this. I do know when I did see him in the panel at MegaCon last week, there was a hint of something new coming his way, a change coming. So I don't, I don't, I, I'm not saying I don't think he's going to go away completely. I mean, there's been a lot of changes going on in the DC, side of the comic book world. So I think there's a I don't think he's completely going bye bye.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just to me, I wish he would have gotten be able to finish his run. You know, it's just like, you know, you pull him all 15 issues to go. It's kind of like a milestone thing, especially for him, I guess. But I don't know. I like the way he writes them. You know, him and Snyder to me are one of the better writers for Batman now. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to. But it's just, you know,
there are Frank Miller of this decade, you know.
Yeah.
We can all go back to Adams and Miller back at that time, and then, you know, and go, oh yeah, they were the definitive writers. Now it's, you know, it's Snyder and King. So, but I think possibly just a growth, maybe hopefully a growth for him, you know, because there has been some movement over in the last 6 months in the DC world. And I just, that's maybe, and again, I'm always more pessimistic, I think, and thinking, oh, hey, there might be something going on here.
Yeah, I mean, there could be, there's always shuffling around and stuff, but just like, to me, I'm just like, yeah, okay. You know, that kind of was like a head scratcher to me. It's almost like, you know, he's being pulled. It's almost like when you're in surgery and you're a surgeon and you're about to put the artery back into the heart so the guy can live, and you get stopped midway through. Oh, you know, before you put that on there, yeah, let me bring in this other surgeon to finish it off. Like, what? I don't know. Just a little miffy on that one. So anyway, next point of news is speaking of Batman, is now Robert Pattinson is being mum on Batman. That means no questions about Batman.
Smart guy.
Why is that? Why is that, Mike?
I don't know. possibly our loving and caring social media, or the fact he might be asked to keep quiet from the studio.
I don't know. I mean, that's funny. I mean, you think, you know, when the report was released by Variety last week, and Variety is pretty spot on source, and then, you know, him being mum on it. I don't know.
But we did hear Variety, but then there was also a few other reports coming from other sources that were saying he was still one of the ones in the running, that there wasn't a solid, you know, stamp, you know, signature, you know, sign. So,
I guess. I mean, just a little, again, once again, a little miffy, like, you know, you've been chosen to do this character and now you're not going to say anything about it. I mean, it's enough with the secrecy already. I mean, with the internet nowadays, it's just like, you can't, secrets are basically die.
No,
I mean, nothing stays a secret forever. So.
No, but it can if they don't release it. It's that simple. Don't leave it out of this office. Trust me, they were able to. They have pulled it off with Marvel. They can be done other places to not post things online. And again, something I've talked about before. The too much knowledge before something is even created. It's just people start rambling and bitching and doing this and doing that, talking about like Sonic and talking about, you know, Robert. I mean, and again, I will straight up say I was one of the ones at first. My gut reaction was, no, I don't want that. But if those things are told to be kept quiet, go ahead. Studios use it to get more talk and more, you know, pops on social media about this. So I think it's like a mixture.
Yeah, it's just kind of odd. I don't know. I come from the days when basically the casting news was heard, like, you know, probably 2 or 3 months after, like when they're literally shooting. Oh, by the way, this guy's playing this guy.
Yeah, that's
right. Like, oh, wow. But nowadays it's like before they even start shooting, you're going to figure the guy and then you can just bitch about it. Like kind of like Heath Ledger. Oh, Brokeback Mountain guy's a Joker. Yeah. Like, you know, well, last night.
It's probably one of the stories you have right now. And I guess we can kind of merge these two together. Is talk with Star Wars of the Knights of the Old Republic. Yes, sure. They have talked about doing Knights of the Old Republic. Nobody's writing anything yet. They're doing test scripts right now. So they're getting one guy to write, another guy to write, another guy. There's nothing in ink right now that says, yes, we got this guy to write, and he's writing the script. But yet you're getting the posts all over the place from all of these internet news people that are just saying something in a title, and people just normally will just read a title of an article and take what is there as gospel. And that's not the case. You got to open up that article and actually read through the whole article, and you'll discover, no, it's that they're working. They're talking to guys. Hey, what would your idea be for this script? What would your idea be for that? And that's what they're doing right now. There's no solid written down, and, you know, nobody's signed anything in ink yet. So
they're not going to do, they won't do a straight up adaptation. I know that.
No.
If they could borrow some of the bullet points from Knights of the Old Republic, I'd be happy.
That's something I got to look at. I've been doing that the new canon research for another project. And that's the one thing I wanted to check it, because I hadn't really seen, did Knights of the Old Republic fall in the new canon? I hadn't.
They, you know, what's funny? They've never mentioned that. I think the Knights is kind of like of the old EU series, like the Legends stuff. Old Legends, it's kind of like, yeah, they'll cherry pick, but I don't think it's part of the actual.
So maybe that's what they're going to do, is they're not going to do anything. But I thought they did say some of the games were still good, and I thought Knights were on the gaming.
Well, the games that have come out recently.
Don't they have another old Knights of the Old Republic game dropping soon?
I think it's the re-release of the older ones.
Oh, it's the re-release. Okay.
Yeah, they're not making a new one. Trust me, I would have known. Yeah. I would have known that by now.
but that's the one thing.
Preaching that gospel.
If anything, they'll do what like they did for Legends for the new canon. They can pick and choose what they want to do, and that's fine. And I want a Knights of the. I'm dying. I would really love that, but it's just everybody. I couldn't tell you how many posts I saw on. When this last week, like probably at least 7 or 8 posts of, hey, look, Star Wars is doing this. Star Wars is about Knights of the Old Republic. I go, no, they're not doing anything yet. They're just talking. Hey, what's your idea for a script?
You know, the funny thing when you talked about that is D.B. Weiss and Benioff and Weiss are being the, I guess they're going to be directing those movies. I don't know if it's going to be straight to the streaming service or actually features, but I'm not a big GOT fan. Sorry. I'm just not. Like, I just haven't caught up to it that much. But I did see the last couple episodes. And I kept thinking, you know, these guys with the way they direct stuff, and you put the sensibilities of that into a Star Wars movie, Knights of the Old Republic. I was just imagining, especially the Battle of Winterfell, which is too dark, by the way. Way too dark. They didn't pay their electric bill or something. But anyway, I was just imagining a scene of the Sith and the Jedi side by side, just like that, and just fighting each other. I'm like, you know what? If they're doing it, and they could do something like that, I'd be down.
But again, that's another one of those rumors. People know that they're up to do one of the Star Wars trilogies. They've never been said which one they want. Everybody wants them to do the Knights of the Old Republic GOT. Plately get that. Yeah. But again, it's one of those things that's getting – if it's out on the internet, it's fact. Again, folks, internet's not fact. Well, guess what? We're on the internet. We can get out there and do whatever we want. You know, it's one of those things you just have to read more into those. That's one of those ones I've been seeing again. Oh, like, oh, they're doing it. They might. The most likely, the smart thing to do is to have them doing it, but it hasn't been stated yet for fact.
Yeah, knowing my luck, they'll probably just do a trilogy on the Hutts. That'll be it. Like,
the one thing, like, I, one
where
thing
did
I
Jabba
did,
come from? You know,
one of the things I did read in one of the articles was they were talking that the two trilogies coming out won't be, you know, obviously six movies, but they will at one, then they will be tied in together, that they're not going to be like bouncing back and forth, but the story they were telling is supposed to be connected by the end, as by the time that they both hit their last movie, they're going to be, there'll be a tie into both of them. So, which I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. If they do a Knights of the Old Republic saying, hey, you know, this is how this and this and this happened. And then the other one, I think Rian Johnson's going to be the one doing the other one. If he does his, maybe it's more future and they're rediscovering what those guys did in the past. And somehow whatever they talked about in the past is now becoming prophesized and happening in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I think Rian definitely could do something like in the Unknown Regions. You know, if you ever read like the EU stuff,
yep,
or the current stuff, the Unknown Regions is something that hasn't been tapped yet. And that's where I think Thrawn was in the Unknown Regions for the longest time before they brought him in.
That's where he kind of got tossed out at. Yeah. So, but it doesn't delve too deeply into it. Not as much as like we want. Cause
it'd be interesting though.
Yeah. So that was kind of, with those two together, they kind of like, you know, they are, you know, in the same vein, I guess you could say, with Robert and the Star Wars story.
Yeah, they're very kind of mixed in together. But I guess to finish off the Batman point, Matt Reeves, according to him, the Batman will be a crime noir detective movie,
that's nothing new.
Yeah. I mean. Okay.
He said that when he's like, yeah, I'm taking over. This is what we're going to do. Okay. Good job.
Okay.
Thanks for doing this again.
I thought it was interesting that he said it yet again. He was like, yeah, no, we're going to, it's a detective movie. I'm like, okay, yeah, I know.
Got it. Let's see it.
Thanks.
I want to see it.
Can I see a teaser first? Can we just move on? Speaking of moving on, we're going to the streaming service Disney Plus, which will be coming out in November $6.99, by the way. Great deal.
Yes, good.
And speaking of Disney Plus, one of the first series that's going to be on there has added some cast members. The Falcon and Winter Soldier has added Baron Zemo, and Peggy Carter's niece. I forgot her name, Mike. If you can correct me, what's her name?
Yeah, the one that
Sharon Carter. Sharon Carter. Yeah, thank you. Sharon Carter will be a part of the series. So I thought that was pretty interesting that they're gonna bring those two back. So especially Zemo.
I wonder if she's gonna discuss kissing Uncle Steve.
Yeah, Uncle Steve. Yeah.
I wonder if that'll be brought up because that might be kind of an uncomfortable situation.
That's kind of a sore subject.
I mean, now everybody knows what you did.
Can you imagine the family like meeting or dinners at Thanksgiving? It's got to be a little awkward.
Hey, you remember that time? Was that when I was in the future and then before I came back here? You remember that?
Yeah.
Pass that turkey right now.
Could I have some gravy, please, Sharon?
Oh, goodness.
Well, what's actually kind of cool is besides that is they're bringing Zemo back.
Yeah, that's
which is cool because I thought Zemo's one of the most underrated characters they had as villain wise.
Oh yeah, horribly underrated.
Horribly underrated. I mean, everybody craps in that movie saying that he was awful. I'm like, I would jest and fight you on that because he's one of the reasons the Avengers broke up. You know, he planned the whole thing, and it was just this guy with anger. You know, he's pissed off about his family. He mapped it all out, and he basically broke him up. So. Seeing him back gives me hope, though. We're actually going to see that gigantic sock on his head, Mike.
One day. We might. Yeah, that's one thing. I do really wish they would have delved more into him because, he was a weaker villain. Like, they over-exaggerated Thanos' power and, like, toned down Zemo so bad. I'm like, guys, you kind of – why don't we bring him in the middle a little bit? Make him more, you know.
Well, I think with a series now, they're going to be able to beef him up a little bit.
Let's hope so. That's something
I think. They will because that's. I mean, he's a good actor too. I mean, he's been on some other stuff, but him coming back as Zemo, I think, is a positive. So, and then it's nice they're keeping that continuity together too as well. Okay, Mike. And one of the last things I got, Indian Missions Award, something that is near and dear to us, and we've said it a little bit before, is Variety has always released their Star Wars images for Rise of Skywalker coming out in December. And we got some tasty new images. Did you get a chance to take a look at it?
I saw a few of them. I saw a few of the Knights of Ren. But I didn't get a chance to see like the ones with Carrie Russell on there.
Carrie Russell looking badass in her Power Ranger purple outfit. Looks pretty cool. Actually, looks like a Boba Fett outfit. Like Boba Fett woman light. That's what I kind of
maybe she is a knockoff of the Mandalorian. You know, they are still around technically.
I mean, the Knights of Ren look pretty cool, especially that one dude with the gigantic axe. Gives me hope they're going to have a big role in the movie. I mean, I know your feelings on them. They could be throwaways or nothing at all. But, you know, they've been talking about these guys since the beginning of, you know, The Force Awakens. So I'm just kind of finally interested to see they're actually going to make their appearance.
They mentioned them one time. That was it. They didn't mention them in Last Jedi.
Well, they mentioned they mentioned them as students.
Students, that was about but nothing more than that. The Knights of Ren were more spoken about in Force Awakens, and even then it was just so quick and like so minor. That's why I'm like, they mentioned them, they kind of showed a quick glimpse of them, not a big story, they just something there. So I just moved on from the story.
I don't know, I'm just interested to see what they could do. I mean, I've always thought that, you know, if Ryan didn't direct Last Jedi, they probably would have some kind of role in there if JJ was doing it. But, you know, just seeing them and like what they could be or what they are. I mean, they kind of remind me they could be some kind of hybrid between the Inquisitors and, you know, if you ever watch Rebels, the Inquisitors were like these force sensitive group of, I guess you would call them Sith apprentices.
Yeah.
They were not quite yet Sith, but they were force sensitive. That's the way I put them. So I wonder if they're going to have those type of capabilities.
Never know. Like I said, I'd say they didn't mention much of them, and they just say, okay, they're there, and that was the end. So, but yeah, I am looking forward to more on that to see what more they're going to be able to do, because I'd really like to – because they've really lost some of their main villains. I do know – I did hear, you know, Phasma's not coming back. That was her swan song. So, yeah, they do need a little bit more filler in the bad guy range.
What a waste of a villain.
Yeah, that was a total waste.
Ugh, man, she looked cool. She sold all of these costumes, all female powers. She got a cape, cool looking outfit, and what does she do in the movies? Just nothing. Just basically nothing. She was just like eye candy. Like, hey, look how cool my cape looks. Look how cool I am.
Look how shiny I am.
Look how shiny I am. Like, wow.
Yeah.
And what do I do in the first movie? I get thrown down to trash compactor. What did I do in The Last Jedi? I die. Oh, I'm like, oh,
you know who that reminds me of? Boba. It's exactly what they did with Boba Fett. They made look at this badass over here. Look at him. He's going to be doing something big. Now, what the hell? He just fell in this pit.
I'll tell you what, Boba Fett was a more cooler character when me and my brother used to play Star Wars with our action figures than he ever was in the movies. I'll just say that.
Oh yeah, no, he was. But again, I think maybe that's what she was really supposed to just be, is the Boba character.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, just somebody that there's talk about because of the character. You don't see a face, you just hear the voice. It's a cool costume, and you die falling down a hole. They both died falling down a hole.
Great.
It's like Fonzie jumping over the shark. There's falling down a hole villains, and that's what they.
And well, you know what kills me too. And I mean, like I said, I don't watch too much of GOT, but she was on GOT, and I heard she was a predominant character there.
Oh,
she and was basically badass. Wasted, just wasted in those movies. I'm like, then why did you even hire her? I mean, I'm sure the paycheck was good, but I don't know. It just kind of bugs me when you make a character, you make a big deal out of them, and they turn out to be just nothing, just cannon fodder.
Brianna Tarth was her character, and she was a strong, powerful woman. Didn't give two craps about anybody. And she had honor behind her, and she had one mission for most of it. Eventually, you know, she was able to complete the mission. She was responsible for guarding a king. The king died, so it was now her job as a knight to avenge his death. And she spent, you know, a good bulk of it from her introduction to almost the end. You know, anyway. and that tells you what strong character she is. That she's, you know, to add that and carry.
And that's the female characters that I like, Mike. Yep. That they have purpose. They have reason behind what they're doing. Not just to throw them in there and say, hey, rah rah rah, I'm a girl. You know. And it's no offense to the girl power movie. I'm all about it. It's great. And like you said before, we've had strong female characters. Where we had Ellen Ripley in Alien and Aliens. We even had that the girl in the Nightmare on Elm Street series. She was a powerful lead character too. She fought Freddy.
Look at any horror movie. I know they all talk about the Scream Queens. You look at Jamie Lee Curtis. She is right up there with one of the strongest female characters. And, you know, in cinema, right next to Sigourney Weaver and Ellen. I think her name's Ellen.
Ellen Ripley, right?
No, not at Aliens. Nightmare on Elm Street. I thought her name was
Ellen. Ellen something. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's also, again, the very strong female characters. You even go into the Scream series. Again, I'm not a big horror fan, but I do know in the horror category where they talk about the girls are the victims. No, in horror films, the girls are the badasses. You know, you name a few. You if you can name me off horror movies where the men are the heroes? No, the men are usually the freaking morons.
Nancy Thompson.
Thank you.
Heather Langenkamp. Yeah, Nancy, Tom. Yeah.
If you can name a movie where a man in a horror movie where the men are the heroes, they're very few and far between.
Yeah, Lyndall Hamilton, Terminator, another badass.
Yeah, so the whole you know strong female characters that they've been pounding that drum lately, it's not it. It didn't start with Wonder Woman. It didn't start with Captain Marvel. It started in the 70s and 80s, folks, and it's been going strong.
It's just more popularized now. I mean, I get it. You know, there's more eyes on it, but still, you can't forget about where they came from. Like these characters came before them.
Yeah. No, it's
and if you look at it, a lot of the newer characters are modeled after them too.
Yeah. It's a social justice warrior movement just, right now that they need to say we need more of this. Yes, we do need more, but we don't need to beat that drum and take away from other characters as well. That's all.
It's kind of like, you know, and I don't want to cause controversy, almost like LGB characters too. You know, I'm all about LGB characters. That's great. But I'm all about LGB characters being their own character, being their own thing, their own entity, you know, their own story, their own origin, where they came from. Okay, why do they grow up like this? Oh, this is the reason, because they were oppressed at this age. Okay, I get it. But, you know, I don't like when they cherry pick off something that's not, you know, where they came from. Yeah. You know, there's like you're switching things around so it could fit your needs instead of fitting the needs of the character, like you've always told me.
What are they calling it? The shoehorn effect, where they're shoehorning effect, that character into something. Even the tokenization of characters, I've noticed more and more of that. I don't know, but I guess with me, how I was raised, and I'm watching something, I don't care what their sexual orientation
is. Me neither. That's never been a big deal.
It's never been a factor to me whether Superman liked Lois or not. He was there. Honestly, the little Lois thing was a small part of it. Batman wasn't a big – you know, if you look at those characters and things that we grew up with, and even in regular TV shows and movies, I really didn't care who they ended up with bed with. To me, it was what's the character – what is their character like? What is their inner core like? And that to me, that's just been what I'm about. But now I understand people want to have a representation of their, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Not their community, but maybe kind of community or what they belong to. I understand that, but it doesn't need to be so in your
face. It doesn't need to be forced.
and that's what I'm seeing more.
It's just, and I'll bring up another point too. It's like when they cast a new doctor and she was female, the people in freaking England were going nuts. The doctor has to be a man. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Look at those articles back in the BBC. They were like, well, this is not what the doctor's supposed to be, even though they had hinted at it a year earlier when the master was a woman. So for the doctor to become a woman, it should have been no shock.
See, here was just a slight rumble. Nothing major. Just like, really? Well, okay. That's the kind of what I heard from, you know, the Doctor Who fans that I know and what I had caught, you know, online, which is a very low rumble. I guess over there I didn't catch it.
Even some of my you know, for guy friends, you know, that I have, they're like, oh she's going to be like a female? Cool. But then you had those old fuddy-duddies who grew up with Doctor Who in the 50s and 60s. Oh, this is not the Doctor that I grew up on. But he's changed like 12 times.
It's the Doctor. He can change what he looks like. He can change
gender or anything. He's still the Doctor. That was the whole point of the whole thing.
Yeah, that one is kind of silly. Yeah.
It's very miffy sometimes, our society. It's just like, oh, God. It's just like, you have to take a shovel and hit him upside the head. I don't know, but that was my little tangent for
you. Well, it kind of goes into it, you know, the whole thing that I was talking about earlier, the social things about Batwoman. You know, the rumbling has continued all week long about more people, and surprisingly to me, and I even showed you a few of them. It was some very vocal females speaking out against Batwoman being so feminist. You know, and for me, when I watch it, there were a few times I'm like, oh, that's kind of pushing the line. But again, it's only a 2.5 minute trailer. Let me just see. I don't know if they might just been really focusing on one demographic to get. They're like, hey, we want to bring in this one demographic. That's fine. But I was shocked at how many YouTuber bloggers that were out there, female of, that bashed this to death.
They were very unkind to it, especially in the comment section of the trailer on YouTube. I mean, it was ridiculous. It's just like, oh, she's a ripoff of Batman. Why does she have to get Batman suit from Batman at Wayne Enterprises? I'm like, dude, it all comes from Batman. You do know that, right? Yeah. I mean, her parents didn't die in an alley. It's just
Well, I mean, that was one of the things, the cringeworthy things that I saw, and it was, you know, she makes a comment, you know, no, you have to change the costume because I don't want a man to take credit for a woman's job. And I'm like, oh, you're taking credit for you're bouncing off of what a man did. So that's kind of flip flopped around there, you know. And I was just like, oh, no, that was a bad one. You guys could have worded that one a little bit different, you know? You know, I want people to know that this is a woman doing it instead of trying to take away from Batman. We're literally – that with that one line, it was trying to destroy the lore of Batman and with that one line.
Yeah, like, oh, it's just like, you know what? You know what? Batman doesn't matter. I matter. I'm like, relax.
She was actually contradicting. She was trying to contradict. No, don't do that. I think there was another line – I think it was the one where she was talking about being, oh, comparing themselves to Bruce Wayne, and she just, I'm strong, I'm sexy. And I was like, you don't know Bruce Wayne then, do you?
Yeah, how do you know? Come on now.
If you're talking about Bruce Wayne or Batman, you're wanting to say smart, not good looking and all this, unless she was trying to play the Playboy card.
Yeah, so. That's not Cassandra Cain. I mean, that's a, she's totally different character than that. She is not like that at all.
Yeah, that's the one thing they talk about. They want strong female characters, you know, and also strong minority characters to come out of the comic books and be brought into live action. You're changing and you're tweaking them too much. Cassandra Cain is already a strong woman. She's already a strong character as it is by herself being Batwoman from the comic books. Now you're adding, again, I'm going to say it again. I don't want to say that, but the social justice thing, you're adding baggage to it, which was turning, I think, is going to turn off a lot of people.
She's bashing on her cousin. She's like, oh, you know, I'm better than Bruce, you know, blah, 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 this, you know. You don't have to do that. Just make your own identity. Hey, you know what? Bruce was my cousin. This is cool. I'm going to borrow some elements from it. You know, maybe make my own bat suit, tweak it. Just don't sound so, like, just so arrogant. Like, you know, brush off Bruce Wayne like he was nothing.
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
you know,
that's...
I'm going to take his company and make it my own. You know, like, come on. That's a little too much.
Right, I understand the demographic they're trying to aim at, but by aiming directly and so laser point accurate at that demographic, you're going to lose a lot of core fans. And
you're becoming very antagonistic in your comments of that too. Yeah, you know what? Batman doesn't matter. I matter.
Yeah. And you just have to be careful. I mean, I understand you want that demographic. You can focus on it, but don't focus so hard you alienate your fan base that will keep you around when that demographic gets bored with a comic book TV show. That demographic will eventually get bored. Your hardcore comic book fans who love
they're going to tune out. They will tune out.
They're going to tune out if you focus too hard. But what you need to do is make sure that you still include your hardcore comic book fans, because they'll stay there just to watch a live action comic book thing going on. But if you alienate that group too much, they're not going to stick around. So that's why you want to balance that out. Yes, get your demographic, but you still want to cater to. The fans are going to be here with you till the end, and that's your core fans are what's.
I have a bad feeling, like in this series, you're going to hear a line from Batwoman being like, you know what, some girl's going to be ask her like, oh, thank you, you know, Batman, I'm not Batman, I can do a better job than a man can. I'm just like some line like that's going to come up, and I'm like, please don't do that.
That's when we create the Batwoman shot game.
Yeah, exactly. How many times is she going to diss on Batman?
Yeah, every time we take two shots, exactly. Speaking of shooting, you and I saw a movie this week. We did not see it together, unfortunately, but we did see it. I went with the original Midnight Movie group, mostly, and you went, I guess, by yourself. Sorry, sadly, not to make it sound sad, but you
story of my life. Well, you know, Thanatos Kane.
You have a weird working hour, so it's understandable.
Yeah.
So you got to go see one of your favorite movies, a movie that you actually got me into, because I didn't catch the original. I caught up after it came out on DVD, the first one, John Wick. I caught John Wick 2 and 3 in the theater. So please, I want to hear you talk about John Wick. I mean, what'd you think? What'd you like? What didn't you like? You know, that kind of thing.
I liked it a lot. I think it's comparable to the first movie. I did. Like, I really liked it. I liked it. I mean, is it a great movie? Is it the best of the series? No, I still think the first one's still the best because it has, you know, the death of the puppy that can never go away. This one adds lore, which I like. They keep adding to the lore, like the mystery, the high table. You know, you see new characters, new gangsters. I mean, Halle Berry kicked ass in this movie. That's all I'm going to say, too.
Yeah, she was a gem.
And those nice dogs extra. Were intense. Like, oh, they always add new wrinkles in the movie. There's some betrayal, which, you know, I didn't see coming. There's a lot of beats that you see that are kind of similar, but John Wick has never been afraid of what it is. It's going to be a straight up, shoot you in the face, shoot you in the temple, gun kata movie type of thing. And, you know, I think, you know, John Wick is who he is. That's what basically John Wick has never been afraid of what it is. And this is a clear example of what the movie is. You know, it just doesn't make any, you know, excuses. It adds some new wrinkles here and there, which I like. I like films that world build each movie. Like, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, where's that going to come from? Oh, I get this. Oh, I get that. Oh, okay. So what are they going to do here? What are they going to do there? I like that stuff. And I know that may not be your cup of tea, because I know you have a totally different opinion about this movie. So go ahead,
Jones. Yes, folks, this will be one of our heated conversations, so to speak. We have talked about it a little. I did enjoy the movie. I'm not going to say I hated it. I've suggested for people to go see it because it is fun. They are very creative on ways of killing people, you know. I mean, just very creative in their fighting styles. If this thing doesn't win any sort of Oscar for fight choreography, whoever's doing the voting is out of their fucking mind. Okay. The stuff they did was just great. My complaint is, and I guess it's what you'd like, but I do like the same thing. I just don't like it in this kind of movie. The world building. I love world building. To me, this doesn't need to be world building. This is it started off, John Wick 1 was, this is a mob movie or a hitman kind of mobster style movie, taking place in a city. I don't know. Did they ever really mention it was New York?
Yeah, they mentioned it was
New York. Okay. So it's in New York City, and this guy's just a badass, you know, does, you know, hits. And they made mention of a high table or this or that. So you knew there was something more up there. But this was a low-level thug that his wife died, dog died, car got stolen. Best country song I've ever seen, okay? I'm telling you. And that was the excitement for me. The second one, it was good. A little bit more world building, showing more inside of New York, though. They still didn't venture out. I think they went to Rome quickly for like a hit and then went back. Yep. That was perfectly fine. This one, too much world building for me, to the point where how do they keep this society quiet from everybody? It like went too far for me in that. You know, it was like, okay, this is so massive that everybody has to know about this. And in every corner, there were five people that were hunting him. That was another thing that kind of – I was like, come on, really? He can't take a corner and there's not somebody that's aware of him? So that was what kind of drew me out of enjoying it. It was just getting too big and too much. I enjoyed the small – localized gangster feel of that. And was it Mel Gibson's Payback? I like that. That's, to me, those are the great, great movies. Very film noir in that they're very small, shoot 'em up, bang, bang, mobster kind of movies. The world building got a little just too much for me is all.
Well, if you look at the original directors, they had heavy influence of Greek mythology.
That's fine.
And that was their basis of it, why they used the tokens, you know, for going into different sections. You know, that's kind of like, you know, when you go to the River Styx and you're paying Phelan, the ferryman. This is, you know, hey, this is my way of getting inside.
I completely get those. It's just I don't need to go so big.
I wanted to go big. I want to see how deep this can go. Like, you know the high table. I want to know, where is this high table? Okay, we've seen the elder. You know, the stuff with the elder I could have done without. I agree with that. The elder
was just ridiculous.
The elder was kind of like, okay.
You're in the middle of the desert. You're just
middle of the desert, hanging out. The elder stuff, I'm going to agree with you with. I was like, okay, whatever. But the high table stuff, we still haven't seen who was on this high table. What's this high table from? Like, where are they at? Like, what kind of, like, obviously you saw this in the
again, I don't need to know that much about it. That's the thing.
I want to know more. I mean, you have this this girl who was introduced in the movie. I think she was the Inquisitor, not the Inquisitor.
Kind of. I think that's what her.
Something like that. But she was a cool character. I wanted her to die. I couldn't stand her. I was like, please kill this woman. She's coming in here with that black coin. Yeah. And she's like, you know what? Deconsecration of the Continental, all that stuff. I want to know about that. But the scope of it could get bigger.
That's just to me. Sometimes there's too big. I don't need every aspect of a story explained to me, because that takes away from the reader or the watcher's imagination to go, wow, man, I do wonder what it is, and I can let myself wonder what it is. It was one of the joys of watching Star Wars for the first time. We didn't know anything about the Emperor. We didn't know what the Clone Wars were. We didn't know who Luke's father was.
Eventually you did find out who they were.
Eventually, yeah. But
and again, this is what they're doing here. I mean, in John Wick 1, they mentioned all that stuff that you said, the high table. They mentioned the coins, you know. So you knew there was something in the back. They just didn't mention it. But now they're actually building it out with the Continental series. It's going to come out in FX, I think, sometime next year. And Wick is going to be on there.
Yeah,
there's going to be a John Wick 4. So you know it's going to keep going forward. And you're going to find out more and more. That's the stuff that I like. It's new world building. And it's fascinating that you're putting it in a world of gangsters and mobsters and you're including all these different elements, and I dig that because it's more grounded. It's not Star Wars.
I don't think it's grounded enough, honestly, because it's going too big. That's why I have it. It's not, when you say grounded, it's not grounded. It's going too big.
What do you mean it's not grounded? I mean, I don't understand.
To have the elder sitting out in the middle of the desert, a mobster or a hitman, five of them sitting at every street corner in this city, that's a little too much. For people to not react when somebody gets gunned down in the middle of a subway station, no reaction.
All right, it's an underground society, man. They can get cleaned up real quick.
But no, literally, they were walking when John came back from overseas, and he was walking and he met up with the Iron Chef. They gunned down a bunch of people right there in the middle of a big, busy subway station. No reactions. Bam, bam. They dropped, and people just kept walking. I'm like, okay, that's – again – It's leaving the ground at that point when things like that are happening. That's all I'm saying. To me personally, I like a good gangster movie. Have this incredible, intricate little world taking place in this city, but having it worldwide like that just kind of pulls me out of the story too much. And that's just kind of
Me, the stuff with the elders is stuff that pulled me out. I didn't like the elder stuff. I thought it was dumb. Like, okay, so this guy basically in the Mojave Desert is in charge of the whole thing. Why the fuck is he in the desert?
Exactly.
Like, well, why isn't he like somewhere with air conditioning? Like,
how does he know everything?
Yeah, how does he know? Yeah, I don't see no cell phones out there. He doesn't have any Wi-Fi that I know of. I mean, that's just stuff. I'm gonna agree with you on.
And then the other side of it is John did something that is un John Wick like.
Yeah,
and I didn't like that either. I was like, you took your everything that you did in the first two movies and showed that you were doing this for a simple, strong reason. And then you just gave it all back up to me. And that just, again, took me out of believing in that character. I was full on believing John Wick, you know, that he was a hitman, but he was a hitman with somewhat of a conscience, a code, not a conscience. Let me rephrase that. He had a code and he broke his code. And that's when it also kind of lost me. But again, all this happened in the same place we're talking about that we all, I think if that scene didn't happen at all, I think I'd be okay with it. And you'd probably enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Like I said, I like the movie. I still like number one the best, but the same reason why you hate this would not like this movie as much as the other one is the same reason I like it. I like world building. That's my biggest thing. And we agree to disagree, and that's fine.
It's not that I don't like world building. I like world building. I don't want like it in that world. That world doesn't.
I like it. I just think it's different. I mean, it's different. Like, we've seen, like, space operas that have had world building. We've seen other stuff, sci-fi movies that have world building. I think it's interesting to have it in, like, a type of a gangster movie having world building. I just think it's a different thing.
I just think it's too big world building. Build it a little bit. I don't know. Not just the way, like I said, it just went so, so big.
The stuff with the elder just kind of took me out of it. Exactly. But, you know, that's my only gripe with the movie. Like, that dude, that was it. But everything else I was on point with, and I'm looking forward to chapter 4 when he fights the world. So that's
what he's going to have to do.
And basically, I mean, if you've seen the ending, if you know some spoiler alert,
that's why I haven't. I'm keeping everything. It's still in the window. I think we're still in the window. So I didn't want to say anything. Just
2 weeks? No.
Yeah. I still know some people out there that haven't seen it yet. So
okay, then I won't spoil. Anyway, there is
that's why I'm trying to be vague a little bit.
I'm just going to say there's an allusion to part 4. There you go. So.
Oh, that definitely is. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, since we argued about that movie, speaking of movies that we actually may agree on.
Well, hold on. Before we move on, we do have a new sponsor again. So
we do?
Yes, we do. I had a talk about the doctor, so here we go. We're gonna go ahead and listen to our new sponsor. And hopefully, you know, with the summer coming around, folks, this will be helpful to all of you. Hello, parents. Do you want to send little Johnny and Julie off to summer camp this year just to get them out of the house? Well, don't forget to try the Winter Soldier Summer Camp. That is right, Winter Soldier Summer Camp, where you can send the children off for an adventure through the summer with canoeing, arts and craft, archery, espionage, and also how to betray your best friend. So, folks, join in, jump online, get on there to WinterSoldierSummerCamp.com. And don't forget, folks, we do offer an exchange student program straight to Wakanda. So come on, folks, and join us, and let's have a happy summer.
This commercial is not endorsed by Heroes Asylum.
Well, there we go, folks. That one was a little bit better than our Dr. Wanna. I mean, I don't know how you're feeling about him. I don't think I'll be sending my kids over there, but hey, you know what?
I'll be sending my kid out there neither. It's
I'll take
a pass in that place.
You sure? So yes, there was another movie you were going to mention. So please continue.
Yes, sir. Actually, a movie that I caught yesterday, actually literally after you caught it, was a little movie called Brightburn. Brightburn came out of theaters. It's produced by James Gunn, not directed by James Gunn. It's produced by him. And I got to say, it's the horror movie that I like, or the vein of horror movie I like. It's very centralized, very small. And basically the premise of it is, if Superman came to this world and was not the big hope for the world, was not the beacon of light, instead turned to the, you know, to the dark side of things. There's a lot of good things I'll say about this movie, but I'll say the number one thing was the kid. The kid, to me, because that's hard to play like a pseudo, you know, smaller type of god type of figure. You know, when he starts making that turn, man, he embraced it, especially as a 12-year-old kid. You know, the things that he says, like one of my favorite scenes in the movie, I mean, spoilers. When he's talking to his aunt, and the aunt is the guidance counselor in the school, and she's basically saying, you know, you're a good kid and all that. And he's basically talking as if though he's an adult. He's like, you know, I'm a higher form of life than you guys are. You know, why should I be around? It's just stuff like that that just got me giddy. And the whole movie was got me giddy. And I can't say it's so many good things about it, Mike. I'll let you go on for this point because I can't really contain myself talking about it. To me, it's just so, so good. I mean, I think you talk about Crime Syndicate things down the road. I mean, yeah, I can see it. I hope they make a sequel to this movie. I really, really do.
But yeah, no, it was definitely it's what you want from, if you're sick and tired of the superhero movies and you want something a little grittier, something more realistic, that if I found out, if I, you know, and I'm not saying me specifically, but as a person, if I found out I could do this, what would I really do? Would I be the good guy, or would I take over and go with my gut instinct and do what I just wanted to do? And that's basically what it was. You know, yes, Superman in a way, but again, you have to realize there are so many superheroes out there that have delved into that same kind of origin story. So I don't want to call him Superman because he does have different powers than Superman, some similar, but he does have some other powers. But the electrical thing, I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
that's not a Superman power. Yeah, I got to tell you.
I don't know what that was.
I've done my Superman research. The kid had super speed, super strength, little laser thingies. I don't know about invisible thing or any wind thing. He had strength, speed, and flight. That's where him and Superman end in comparison. So just leave it at that. But yeah, it was not a gory one. If there's any of people out there that are afraid, you know, to jump into a horror movie with gore.
There's
very,
one.
Very much. One.
There's one. Little intense.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's not super gory or grotesque. Yeah.
The one that was in there, that one scene.
Oh.
That one, yeah, that was a little rough for me to watch. Like, I had to turn for a second.
That was hard to look at, man.
But the one that they did release, the one scene in the cafe, they did release that on YouTube with
that's a little. That's not as gory.
If you're an eye person, that's a little twitchy. If you don't like anything around
another
your scene, eye,
there's another one towards the end of the movie that's just like, holy cow! I don't want to give it away, but no. it's really fast too.
Yeah,
that's what kills me. It's like a blink of an eye, and it's over. But
you know, I mean, this wasn't just James. This was his brothers. Actually, there was three. The writers were the Gunn brothers, and then James produced it. So this was a family fun, so to speak, movie, in that, you know, they definitely showed their true colors. And if anybody ever had a second guess about what the Gunn brothers could do, this one puts it all.
Just
watch this movie.
I would put that up there with Slither and his other movies.
He's hands down. Yeah.
I love this movie. I saw it again this morning.
Did you?
I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, I was trying to look for like little things and, you know, the post-credit scene, which I don't want to reveal, but
from that post-credit scene, you see what I mean? Definitely a Crime Syndicate.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what? If they don't do a sequel, I'm perfectly fine with the nod. Just, hey, this is a possibility. But if they did and they went that route, I would be ecstatic as well.
Oh my God, it's just so much fun. I mean, the turn, the kid was just great.
Yeah.
Just great. I mean, an actor of that age too.
Yeah, well, like you were saying, I definitely agree with you on the fact of when he was acting, he started off very quiet, kind of a little bit unsure of himself. Once his power started hitting, then once he realized, you know, wait, I can do more. Yeah, you talk to me like an adult. I'm an adult now, and you're not. And that was the thing, you know, and it was just like Superman, you know, coming down. He had a spaceship, and that was the difference. Was, you know, Clark's spaceship and Superman's spaceship talked about peace and building a better world. This spaceship was not so much. Yeah, no, this was Dave from 2001, just on steroids. Really, ooh. I mean,
it is basically
he was. He
basically, I wonder if it is him, man. It was a smaller ship.
Had a little red to it.
Red on there. Just saying.
And the costume I thought was great. I mean, not just a cape, but that mask on top.
That mask, just creepy, especially with his glowing laser eyes. Oh. The way he uses those laser eyes in a certain scene in the movie is just freaking intense. I'm like, wow. I mean, there's just so many. Like I said, I don't want to give away a lot of spoilers. You guys should just definitely go out and check out Brightburn. I mean, especially for Memorial Day. Don't take your kids to see it. It's very intense. But, you know, if you want to get a thrill, nice horror movie.
Yeah, there's not going to be action figures for this one. So don't be on the lookout for that for Christmas.
Never say never. Never say that costume might be. It's an easy
definitely, costume, definitely costume, definitely costume wise. But I don't think we're gonna see those runs on a run for those on a in a Toys R Us.
Sorry, I don't think anybody's gonna be buying that Brightburn.
So after Brightburn, there was something that we did that we kind of did jump over. We were talking about the streaming service earlier with the Falcon show, but Disney actually did announce that a lot of the movies that they were kicking around early on, probably about 3-4 years ago, like the Obi-Wan movie, the Boba movie, they are actually now looking at doing them more on the streaming service, which to me will be great. Again, you and I had talked about, if they just did one season of Boba, that's all you need. But one season of Boba is like having four movies. An Obi-Wan movie, you know, and Ewan's still age, and I think he's
Obi-Wan is the one I want. I mean,
Obi-Wan is Boba Fett. But I could give or take. I mean, I did like what they did with Boba in Clone Wars. I would love to see from Clone Wars to more, you know, up to date, because they were really showing a lot of his colors there, and I liked what they did for him there. If they can just picked it up from that, but Obi-Wan, yeah, definitely is my one I want to see.
That's the only one that really needs to be on there. I mean, you could really extend that out too. You could have a couple seasons on there. And like, what the hell was he doing on that desert planet but while watching Luke? I mean, he must have gone on some adventures. I mean, I wonder if Vader found him, you know? Yeah. I mean, you don't know. Well, I mean,
You did see in Rebels that Maul ended up finding him out there. And Maul was going after the Owen and Beru, you know, trying to track them down. And then he found, you know, he found Luke. And so there is a lot of adventures of Obi-Wan on Tatooine that they do cover in the current canon, mostly a lot in the Rebels and a lot in the comic book world.
So, no, especially with Ewan coming back, man, that's going to be great.
But like I was saying, you know, I mean, you think about movies are usually about 2 hours long, 2.5 hours long, you know, three movies. What's that? Eight hours. If you do a mini 10 to 12 season or 12 episode season, you're talking 12 hours. You can do one season and get in, really delve out a big, almost a four length movie on that character. And I think that one season would be more than enough to tell the story. And then they can just delve more in, because you not only have Boba, you have Ahsoka Tano, you have Tarkin that you can develop. I mean, you have so much out there to lead into. I mean, the book series that they have out right now for Tarkin and Thrawn and Obi, I mean, there's so much out there already that they can take and just extend that out. And I think, well, crossing our fingers, that's what they do. And that was my big hope when I first heard about the streaming service. This was the first thing that popped into my head, is they canceled the Obi-Wan movie, but they can do it on this. And it would probably be better for Owen being a family, you know, or not Owen, sorry, Ewan McGregor being a family man. You know, it probably wouldn't be so bad. And they usually most likely will film it over in England anyway, so he'll be able to, you know, zip back and forth a lot easier.
Yeah, the commute to work won't be too bad. So,
yep.
I can't wait. Like I said, the streaming service is the best thing they're going to have right now with all the Marvel properties, all the Star Wars properties. You're going to lessen your budgets on going to the movies right now, because after Rise of Skywalker, that's it for Star Wars for a while. We're going to put it, you know, the lock and key in the movie series, and we're going to go straight to the streaming service. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, they've gone big in the movie theaters. They've conquered it. Now let's conquer the smaller screen. And for that price, all the stuff you're going to get.
$6.99? You kidding me? Yeah.
$6.99?
You're perfectly happy.
I'm happy.
Not only that, you're getting all the Marvel movies, you're getting all the Disney movies as well,
and the Fox,
all the Star Wars. You're gonna get tons of stuff. I'm still up on that debate of which one I'm canceling. right now, I haven't decided which one I'm going to cancel.
I still have Netflix, so I'll be picking up Disney Plus.
Yeah,
so I'll be. I canceled Hulu. I was like, it was okay.
I'm a 6 month person. I had 6 months on Hulu, then 6 months on Netflix. I let Netflix build up its library, and then I just devoured it in 6 months. I let Hulu build up its library, devour it, and then do Disney streaming in the middle.
Good stuff.
Or not
good
Disney
stuff.
Streaming. I mean, DC. So I think that's probably what's going to happen. I think it's going to now come down to DC or Disney. I might do a 6 month run on those, back and forth.
Speaking of DC streaming, I think we had one of the last things. I don't know if you have it on your list.
Yes, sir.
We got another Swamp Thing trailer, which actually premieres this Friday, May 31st. Yes. Tell you what, it's everything I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah, they're hitting the spots.
They're hitting all the right feels. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Well, again, like I had talked to you before about this, this is their property. It's not like they're doing somebody else's property. This is theirs. They're going to do it right. You know, it's not like they picked up another story from some other company and said, oh, hey, can you guys throw this on your network and you guys produce it and make it? Yeah, sure, we'll do it. But they're not going to do it the right way. Disney or DC is going to do it the right way because they own that.
Well, you got James Wan, too.
Yeah.
You could say James Wan's footprints all over this. Because he comes from horror. I'm like, oh, my God. He did great with Aquaman. If I was Warner Brothers right now, I would sign this guy and never let him go. I would make him an integral part of DC, just like, you know, executive producing here and there, other properties, overseeing stuff. I mean, the guy he's got a knack for it. I mean, he did the action adventure with Aquaman. He did fun movies like Fast and the Furious. I mean, he can do horror. I mean, what can't this guy do?
Yeah, true.
So
we have Swamp Thing debuting next Friday. We just had the finale for Doom Patrol. If nobody's watched that. I just have to say one thing to you. Shame on you for
shame on
this.
You for not watching any of the episodes. I mean, Doom Patrol is all I'll say about Doom Patrol. It's crazy, zany, ridiculous fun.
Yeah,
and it hits.
We can't explain it any more than
I don't want anyone to explain it. It's just like you have to just watch it to believe it.
I was trying to explain it to somebody the other day. I was like, no, you just it's fun. It's these are characters that have problems, like real problems. Like you have characters, one of them's openly gay. So, you know, his flashbacks are him dealing with his wife.
And I'll tell you what, that's one of my favorite characters of the show.
Yeah.
Because the way they went into so deep in his struggle, like living two lives, and basically why was he living this lie, and the spirit within him just basically, you know, leading him one way. I love that.
And that spirit keeps torturing him by playing.
Keeps torturing him. It's great.
You have the girl with, what'd she say, 67? Is it 67 personalities?
I think it's 668.
Okay.
It's Crazy Jane.
Yeah, Crazy Jane. You have a person with multiple personalities and how she's dealing with those and how everybody else is really working around them. You have a Robot Man. You know, he's dealing with the fact that in a way he is handicapped now because he doesn't have a body. He's in a robot's body, but he's got a heart that he just wants to help people and help, you know, fix things. And then you have Elastic Girl who just, you know, she's dealing with the fact that, well, it's not Elastic Girl from the comic books at all. She turns into a blob. She doesn't change shapes at will. She gets stressed. She turns into a blob and turns ugly. Again, a social disorder. Every single one of these characters showing a social disorder and the way they work with it and the way they deal with it and the way they're there as a family with each other. So Cyborg in, who's, you know, honestly kind of the rock to the whole group, you know,
which is kind of crazy. Yeah. I can't believe Cyborg was kind of like the leader of this sort of Doom Patrol, but he was
a great version. I think better than any version of Cyborg. I did like the Cyborg from Justice League. I think he does a better job. This actor.
He's more flushed out. That's the thing. He's way more flushed out. You get to see his backstory. I mean his conversations with his dad. I thought were one of the better parts. By the way, a callback to Terminator with Dr. Dyson. Yeah, you know, being his dad. I don't know if people caught that, but Dr. Dyson is his father. So,
but it's just, and it's, again, it's something you and I were talking about earlier was how Marvel in the comic books were all about these are real life people that are struggling, and they had superpowers. You know, they got them, and then they had to learn how to work and deal with them, and just the struggles. You know that you know Peter Parker was a student. And he had to do it so people, you know, kids were able to, you know, go, you know, understand that, God, yeah, I have school and I have personal life, but I also have this other problem I have to work with outside of school. And this is how it affects me. Iron Man at the time, I mean, wasn't a big character, but he was a full blown alcoholic, you know.
Raging alcoholic.
Yeah, but we don't see that in the cinematic world anymore. These are okay characters. Yeah, Tony Stark's a little neurotic. Okay, Captain America was a man at a time. You see those things. Those are more superhero problems, not real life problems that, you know, and again, that was one thing that everybody always raved at me. You should like Marvel because it's more grounded. It's more basic. DC nowadays.
More grounded, way more. And it's funny because, you know, I didn't even notice it till you actually, we were talking about it, I guess, probably a week and a half ago. And then I started delving into it, and I'm like going through the movie catalogs, like the recent DC movie catalogs that came out. And I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? You're right. I mean, if you think about it, like in Man of Steel, you know, Man of Steel, when he goes, there's a scene in Man of Steel where he goes to a church and he's talking to the priest that he's been going to since he was a kid. And he's discussing, you know, because he's conflicted. You know, this is a God type of figure who is conflicted on what he should do. You know, I mean, it's the total opposite of Brightburn, obviously, because he actually has humanity in him. He's raised by humans. He's raised by two farmers, and he doesn't know what to do. And he's almost like the Judean Christ type figure of that movie, because you see like the background images of Christ up there, and you know, and as conflicted as Christ was, so was he. It's just amazing how grounded the characters are. Same thing on Doom Patrol. Same thing with Wonder Woman. She was a woman who believed in a certain way of certain things, and then she found out, no, war is not like that. War is not just a person. War is everybody.
Right.
You know, it's just amazing how, you know, people like have said of these Marvel characters, oh, they're grounded. Yeah, in the comics, they're grounded.
Yeah, they were.
And the movies? Not so much.
And I think that's why you're seeing less people jumping on board with DC, because they aren't the easy pill to swallow. These are things you have to watch. It's a little rough sometimes to watch them. You know, the closest thing I think Marvel ever had to really capturing the struggle and the grounded side of their comic books in a visual was the Netflix series, all of them.
Yeah,
you know, Punisher's dealing with PTSD, Luke Cage is dealing with racism and you know, internal racism, but you know, black racism on top of not just, you know, white racism. But that was the only time that I could say, you know, Marvel cinematic or visual wise really captured what Marvel what meant in comic books was during the Netflix series. But for the most part, DC is DC. It's showing all of that. They're showing the scars underneath the capes, kind of.
Yeah, literally. I mean, and I love that about it, especially like in the movie that people shit on the most, Batman v Superman. You know, people are like, oh, well, Batman's a killer in this movie. You know, why is he always killing? His code is not to kill. But if you dive deep into it, why he's doing those things, he's 20 years into doing this thing. I mean, he's broken. He's lost people along the way. I mean, he's seeing this guy who's literally from another planet destroying cities, destroying his building that his employees were in. And he's thinking, you know what? No, he's not. He's a threat. He's a threat. And I got to do something about it because nobody else is going to do it. So he's basically, you know, doing what he has to do for his to save his race.
Yeah. And that was one reason why I really enjoyed that Batman and that Superman, is because it was an aged Batman. We're so used to the up and coming Batman, seeing the year one series and a few years afterwards. This one was post Robin getting killed. This one was post everybody else turning their back on him. This is post him probably putting away, you know, Bane and Catwoman and everybody else that, you know, this is the bitter old Batman from Batman Beyond.
And what if I told you before, Mike, in the past, what is my favorite version of the Batman? When he's the Frank Miller one, Frank when Miller, he's yep. older. Yeah, yep. when he's older, this he's been through those scars, and this was it.
Yeah, this was Frank Miller. I mean, if you didn't see it in the bat armor, then you really missed it.
I mean, it's just it boggles my mind sometimes how people just don't want to think when they watch these movies and they want to see what they want to see. And I get it. Those movies do have problems totally, yeah. but it's just like the characters themselves, you know why they're doing this. They're more grounded than Marvel, which is insane for me to say, but they are. Like, especially a character like Batman. Obviously, he is grounded because of where he's come from, but you know why he's doing these things. You know, he's psychologically fucked up in the head from his parents, but it's not just that. You know, it's like you just saying, to piggyback off that, he's lost things in his life. Yeah. He's alone. He's got Alfred there, yeah, but he's alone.
Shit, even Alfred's bitter, you know, and Alfred was not the bitter one.
Alfred is the one drinking it in the Batcave. Yeah. He's like, hey, man, you know what, there's a girl out there. You're going to get married. No, you ain't going to get married.
Exactly. You know, that's just...
It's just like and then even in Titans coming up in October, they've cast an older Bruce Wayne. And then people are like, oh, why does he have to be older? I go, because he does.
Why does he have to be younger? We've already seen young Batman.
Why is he going
to
be? We saw Bale as Batman when he was younger. We've seen Batman Begins.
We've seen Keaton. Yeah, we've already seen those. We don't need to. I get it. Yeah, again, like I said, if I see one more fucking pearl drop,
I'm going to go nuts. No, I'm going to go nuts. I'm going to go nuts because I don't want to see no more pearls drop. I don't want to see the gun. I don't care anymore. Yeah. I've seen them die 1,000 times. You killed the Waynes enough.
I've seen year one Batman enough. I want to see Batman scarred, bruised, bitter as all. He's already a bitter man at the beginning, you know, for his year one. I really want to see him bitter. Like, I'm doing my best and the society's still not turning around. That's the one I want to see.
It's kind of like, you know, what I always thought. I mean, it's never going to happen now with Arrow ending after next season, by the way, 10 episodes. That I've always wanted to see, like, if he was ever introduced in the CW universe, I wanted to see him as the older Bruce Wayne and, like, him just walking into the Arrow cave and Oliver shooting him with an arrow and him grabbing it and saying, you know what, I've been doing this a little bit longer than you, son. Just like I want to, I like when Batman is like the mentor and he knows he's going to teach you. And apparently that's where they're going to go with Titans in season two. And I dig that.
They need to definitely do it. Because, I mean, you are showing Nightwing or Robin already old. So you already know Batman's had his time and then a decade at least, minimum decade since he's had Robin. So you know he's in his 30s, 40s easily. But, I mean, the way he's probably going to be looking a little bit older.
Yeah, probably like early, mid-40s.
But that's perfectly fine because that's what – again, that's what this one needs, I guess, of – Batman is, or more Bruce Wayne, you know, of, hey, you know, we had our problems. Let's work through it and, you know, go through it. Like I said, they may follow up with one of the storylines. I'm drawing a blank now, which comic book that was. I talked about it before, where Batman sent, Jason Todd. He sent Jason Todd out to do a nightly mission. And it ended up that he on purpose sent him on the same mission that Nightwing just happened to be going on. And Nightwing ended up sort of mentoring him throughout the night. And then at the end of the night, it was Bruce's way of making sure that Jason Todd as a Robin was good enough for Dick to approve of. And it was also giving Dick the idea that Batman was okay with him going off on his own. It was like this kind of double whammy, you know, kill two birds with one stone, but showing them both, hey, you're okay to pick up my mantle because I've seen what you can do, kid. And then it was Batman going, and I've seen what you can do. You're good too. So, and if they went kind of that route on Nightwing for the second season,
God. You know what? I would like that too. And can you imagine like seasons down the road when he eventually makes that turn, how good it's going to be?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's going to be so good if they go that route.
Hopefully. Well, I have heard that I saw an interview with the actor that does Robin, soon to be Nightwing. They do have the costume. He says he hasn't put it on yet.
I think
they were just starting to shoot like a couple weeks ago, and that's when that interview dropped. So hopefully it's ready to go.
Well, they showed one episode. I think they had like a little screening where he's walking in Wayne Manor with Bruce, and I can't wait to see that scene. So that's gets me giddy for Titan season two. So. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Very good. Very good. So I think that is our wrap up for the show today, guys.
Yeah.
We've had a lot to cover, a lot to talk about. We are going to be doing our X-Men next week. So we will be fulfilling a promise we have made to somebody. We are,
yes, we do.
We are doing that in honor of the last movie for the X-Men Fox series, The Dark Phoenix. So we're going to go ahead and basically, I think we are not, Hugh and I were talking about just kind of a rundown of what if somebody was saying, hey, I want to watch these movies, what three should I watch?
Yeah, yeah.
Before I get into seeing the finale.
I mean, there's been 10 movies in the X-Men franchise series, so, you know, there's a lot to cover.
And
there's a lot of movies. Yeah, and basically me and the captain are going to pick out three that, you know, you should watch before watching The Rising of Dark Phoenix or Dark Phoenix Rising, whatever it's called. And we're just going to go from there. And the X-Men is a very lengthy, very deep dive, especially. X-Men has a lot of lore, and it's one of the reasons we haven't done X-Men yet, because it's so deep, dense.
You have, what, 40 years?
Oh, at least.
At least 40.
Maybe 50.
No, God, no. Yeah, go over 50 years now.
More 50.
Yeah,
no, over 50.
Because they came in the 60s. But yeah, you have that. And literally, X-Men on their own could probably be their own comic book company with how many characters they have. I think their character list like doubles the actual regular Marvel list. I mean, their group is just so huge. So it is tough to go in and like really delve in and like, you know, go in. But I think if we pick three each, I think we can cover a lot of the characters and talk about them. So Edna, I hope you will be happy with that show.
Edna, you will be happy with this. Trust me.
And we are doing another review out there, folks. So go online, check the Heroes Asylum poll. We have for our next movie review, actually, is what I was trying to say. We have a list of five or four movies did we post?
I think we put five.
Five. Okay. So I think we have Flash Gordon. Last Starfighter.
The Highlander. Highlander's up there.
And Superman Quest for Peace. And our number one movie so far right now is Batman and Robin. So get out there and vote, guys, and show your love for what movie you'd love to hear one of us talk about.
I want to make a vote. Hopefully you guys will do Quest for Peace or Highlander. I'm just begging you guys right now because I think the poll is inaccurate. I think there's some chicanery going on with this poll.
You think it's Florida?
I think I am demanding a recount of this poll because I think people want to see me suffer. And
that poll sounds about right then.
I have not seen this Say movie since the Say year, Say date that it came out. And I just want to let people know ahead of time, if this movie happens to win, which the voting, I believe, when is it in, Mike? Monday?
We're going to shoot for Wednesday. More people, because this, well, actually, no, we're going to shoot till Friday, because this episode doesn't drop till Wednesday. So we'll at least give it after this drops, we'll give them a few extra days. So we'll know by next week.
And all I'm going to say is I'm not going to be responsible if this same movie wins the poll of what happens afterwards, because that's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to leave it at that. And
turn this motherfucker down. God damn it.
I don't want it. I don't want this movie to win. Please.
Oh, goodness.
So, I will not be responsible what's going to happen.
So, folks,
I just won't.
If you just get out there and vote.
If you have a heart, please just, you know, vote.
Get out there and rock the vote for us and vote for Batman Rob, and make sure you guys get out there and show your love, because we definitely will we'll be dropping this one soon. I think maybe sooner than we think, depending on how it comes out. So, and we are going to be doing more polls out there. And guys, please, you know, let your voice be heard out there, because we are always curious about what you guys are doing and what you guys want to hear from us and what you'd like to hear us cover.
And speaking of cover and speaking of voices, Mike, I think you have something that you'd like to say about since we've been doing this a while now, just me and you, which has always been great. But you'd like to offer some, invitations?
Yes. Kane and I have been discussing. We are actually going to throw out an open invitation to any inmate out there that wants to join us and hop on the podcast with us. The thought is, I have an extra line over here, and basically we can connect how we connect now and have you guys jump in, show your, kind of give your opinion about some things. That's why we're going to start kind of talking about shows that we're going to be doing in the future. So that way, if you're like, I'd like to talk about that, hit us up. Facebook would be their best way. DM me in on one of the two, and we can get everything situated. But I'd like to make it a rotating, empty chair, basically. Whoever, if you want to come in and sit down and talk to us for a little bit, if you guys got the time. We're usually doing this on Sunday evenings, our recording. So just give us a shout out if you know either one of us personally, or just want to just throw it through on Facebook and DM either one of us. Just let us know.
Yeah, let us know. We love to have a third person in that empty third chair, which is awfully lonely over there. So, a third rotating chair is going to be very nice.
We always have an extra straight jacket for everybody.
Yes, we do.
Yep.
Just everybody else's size.
Yeah, everybody else's size. A few extra sedative pills just to help out. But
a couple Quaaludes. We got them. Let's just get ready to rock.
All right. So, folks, we are going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. And I want to thank you guys once again for downloading and subscribing all through Facebook. And hit our website at heroesasylum.com. And Kane?
Twitter, Instagram at Heroes Asylum. And as always, get to the asylum.
Peace.